Welcome to the Farming Your Career podcast with host Dr. Aaron L. Albert, where we explore a variety of healthcare and pharmacy-related topics, including career development, healthcare IT, informatics, innovation, entrepreneurship, STEM, women's issues, and more. Farming Your Career podcast is part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, and Aaron has had the number one most downloaded episodes of 2016 and 2017 of the entire Pharmacy Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, Dr. Aaron L. Albert.
Welcome to Farming Your Career. I'm Aaron Albert. Today, we wanted to bring back our number one highest downloaded guest in 2017, Dr. William Solomon. He's with the Accreditation Council on Medical Affairs, or ACMA, and today we're going to look more in depth at the BCMAS certification. Now, what is all that vegetable soup? Give a listen and we'll break it down for you. And if you're interested in career development within the pharmaceutical industry as a PharmD, MD, or PhD, give a listen to this sponsored podcast to learn more about BCMAS and potentially giving your career trajectory a whole new direction. Today, we welcome back President of the Accreditation Council for Medical Affairs, Dr. William Solomon, to the podcast. Dr. William Solomon, welcome back to Farming Your Career.
Thanks so much, Aaron. A real pleasure to be here. Excited to be back.
Yeah, and you actually were our number one most downloaded episode last year, and we talked all about how to get into the pharmaceutical industry, specifically within medical affairs, and then drilling down into the BCMAS, or the Board Certified Medical Affairs Specialist certification that ACMA offers, and you are part of that. So today we wanted to go more into a deep dive around this particular certification and share with our listeners a little more details around it, as I've been getting personally a lot of questions about it. So let's begin with who is really ideal for the BCMAS certification, and share briefly with our listeners what ACMA is as well.
Sure. So first we can start with the ACMA. ACMA is the Accreditation Council for Medical Affairs, like you mentioned. It is essentially an accrediting body that is recognized by the Institute for Credentialing Excellence, which is an internationally recognized body that recognizes accrediting bodies like the ACMA. And our mission is simple. It's really to establish standards of excellence for pharmaceutical industry professionals working within medical affairs. In terms of the BCMAS program, first, I'm really happy and excited to hear that it was one of the top podcasts. That gives me a lot of satisfaction to know that people gained a lot of benefit from listening to the podcast. That's great. But the BCMAS program really is meant to give individuals the foundational core competencies in medical affairs. And so people working in the industry who really want to accelerate their career, expand their career options. So, you know, if you're an MSL and you're thinking, you know, I might be interested in working as a HEOR, Health Economic Outcomes Research Liaison, or I'm an MSL and I want to get into medical strategy, or I'd like to get into publications. What BCMAS does, what's so great about it, and really to me is very exciting, is that it's the most comprehensive program for training medical affairs professionals in the world, hands down. And so people that want to expand their careers, but also people who want to get into the industry, a lot of times the first step in getting in is maybe working as a MSL or medical science liaison, working in MedInfo, also a very, very good program because it gives you a lot of those areas within medical affairs, gives you a little taste of what those areas are about, why they're important, how they work together with different functions, both within medical affairs and externally.
Great. And can you remind our listeners again, you know, do you need to apply to be part of the certification? And if so, what type of professional backgrounds do professionals need to have prior to application?
Yeah, that's a great question. You do need to apply. Your application will be reviewed. And then, you know, if everything looks good and you meet the eligibility criteria, you then become accepted. So in terms of degree, We usually are looking for people that have a terminal degree, so either an MD, a PharmD, a PhD. There's a handful of folks that might have a DO, PsychD, so a terminal degree. However, if folks have pharmaceutical industry experience that's relevant, the board does consider individuals who don't have a terminal degree. Now, if you look at the current breakdown of BCMAS candidates today worldwide, believe it or not, about 40% are physicians, and then the remaining 60% are pretty much split evenly between pharmacists and PhDs, so about 30%, 30%.
That's interesting. When we were benchmarking probably 5 to 7 years ago across the industry, most field-based medical science liaisons were PharmDs. So are you noting a trend with more physicians wanting to get into medical affairs?
Yes, you hit a really important point. We're seeing more and more physicians in the last few years wanting to work in the pharmaceutical industry. And we see this trend happening, especially internally within medical affairs, at higher level positions. A lot of companies are preferring physicians. But here's what's really great, I think, about, again, the BCMAS program. If you're a PharmD, you're a PhD, and you want to have a competitive edge, this is a way to do that because, again, it gives you a lot of those foundational elements in other areas that you may not have experience in. But yes, we see that trend happening where there's an increase in the number of physicians in the industry.
Interesting. So let's go back to more of the logistics around the BCMAS. What is the cost of the program in terms of not only dollars and cents, but in terms of application and then in terms of time? On average, how long does it take to go through the coursework?
Yeah, sure. Great question. So the program cost is $2,000. It can be paid either in a one shot or it can be paid over a 3-month period in installments. So we try to give, you know, flexible payment options for folks. The program takes about, on average, I would say 2 to 3 months to complete. The ACMA does provide a 6-month window to complete the program. So remember, it's a self-paced online program. So because of that, of course, you know, depending on how many hours you put in a week, you'll either be able to finish it much more quickly, or some people, you know, take almost the entire 6-month period. It just really depends on how much time you invest on a weekly basis.
Is it all online, or is there any kind of like residency component or experiential component?
Yeah, also a very good question. Right now, the entire BCMS program is online. And although we don't have a residency component, one of the things we're really excited about that's going to be coming soon from the ACMA is we're developing a database. And that database is going to house essentially all fellowships in industry, interprofessionally, for all folks, not just for pharmacists. So that's really exciting. And the reason why I bring that up is I think that, you know, the ACMA's mission really is, like I said, to establish excellence in the industry, but it's also to really be a resource for folks that want to work in the industry or folks currently in the industry. That's kind of our mission. We actually just held earlier this week for the first time ever a medical affairs think tank, which brought together leaders within medical affairs. These are folks that had at least 20 years of experience in medical affairs. And we sat around and talked about what really are some of the needs of, you know, within medical affairs. And this is something that the ACMA is really moving towards more and more. And it's nice because, you know, like we talked about earlier, the ACMA in the last year has done so much, especially on the political side in terms of policy, healthcare policy, et cetera. So really trying to understand at a high level, really at a macro scale level, what are the needs of professionals working in the industry, in particular related to medical affairs, and how can we really help, I think most importantly, protect the integrity of what we do? Because remember, people outside of the industry, they don't see necessarily a difference between MSLs and sales. They don't really see that difference. There's no distinction. So, you know, that's part of our mission, is to really help set apart what we do as medical affairs professionals.
That's great. And particularly the fellowship database, I think that'll be a really helpful tool. We just had one of the co-founders of profellow.com on the podcast as well. And she was talking about mid-career fellowships and not just within pharma, but across healthcare and then in the broader level as well. So I think that's a much needed component, particularly for the pharmaceutical industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's talk about the actual modules. So there's 20 units within this BCMAS certification. So what do they include, and can you break it down a little bit more for our audience?
Sure. So the 20 modules are essentially made up of the different functional areas in the pharmaceutical industry. So you have things like health economic outcomes research, which you mentioned earlier on, clinical trial design, teaching you how to design different types of clinical trials for certain goals that you want to meet within medical affairs. Evidence-based medicine, how to understand the limitations and benefits of studies, and how to really objectively and critically appraise those studies. Things like publications, investigator-initiated studies, the CME and grant process, advisory boards. And then we also have modules focused on other areas within the industry. So what's really nice about BCMAS is it's not just the pharmaceutical industry in the technical sense of the term, but we also have content on the diagnostics industry, the medical device industry. Because remember, and this is what's nice about this, is that it gives you that flexibility, again, from a career perspective, is that you might be working in a traditional pharmaceutical company, and then somewhere along your career decide that you're going to be an MSL or a medical director for a medical devices company. Well, medical devices is slightly different than pharmaceuticals. Diagnostics is different than traditional pharmaceuticals. And so we have modules focused on that. The drug development process, abstract and medical writing. So if you're going to be involved in development of content, whether it's for regulatory purposes or for publication purposes, how do you do that? And we also have one module on presentation and communication skills. So soft skills are addressed as well, where we really teach folks, how do you properly present as a medical affairs professional? How do you communicate information to different types of thought leaders, to different individuals within your organization who may or may not have a scientific background?
Yeah, and you know, as I look at these 20 different categories that are available on the ACMA website, by the way, you know, it's really interesting because a lot of these modules are literally different career paths that one could take within the pharmaceutical industry, whether in medical affairs currently or not.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. That's the whole thing, right? Is that this the fact that the BCMAS program is so comprehensive, because remember, this has never happened before where there's a program that's taken all these areas within medical and brought them together. But the fact that it's so comprehensive means that, you know, you begin to get a flavor and understanding for what each of these areas are about. And again, that's going to expand your career options. And that's why I, for one, as head of the ACMA, I'm really excited because I really believe that this is something that is going to transform the industry for the good long term.
Yeah, and I've noted too, I've seen in my own professional experience that there are clinically based, field-based medical science liaisons too that also wanted to kind of move over into HECON or health economics outcome research as MSLs. And it looks like you have a module addressing that within the BCMAS certification.
We do, and it's such an important topic, right? I mean, now with everything happening, especially in the last few years around really trying to understand the cost effectiveness and cost benefit of drugs, you need to understand HEOR. You can't work in the industry today, especially within medical affairs, and not understand the different types of budget models, et cetera, to be able to assess really whether or not a product, a biologic, a device is bringing value to patients. And so I think today, you need to have that well-roundedness. You need to understand HEOR.
So being the recovering professor that I am, I have to ask the question about assessment. So how are people assessed within the 20 modules for learning? Are they quizzed? Is there a final assessment? Break that down for us.
Sure. Well, assessment's never a fun topic, but it's an important topic, right? And BCMAS is a competency-based certification in the sense that each module, at the end of each module, you have quizzes. So you have to pass the quiz. In some cases, some of the modules that offer CE credits, for example, you have to pass a certain score to be able to progress to the next module. And then at the end of the entire program, there is, of course, the board examination, which you have to pass as well to be able to be conferred as being board certified. We also have case studies as well. And the case studies are really meant to give individuals a real practical perspective on things that happen on a day-to-day basis within medical affairs, whether field-based or internally within medical affairs. So all that's included. But what's really nice about how the program is designed is we do have a question bank. And the question bank allows you to practice a lot of the similar types of questions that you're going to get on a quiz, that you're going to get on a board exam. We also have the ability for students to access instructors in real time. So we have a live chat feature where students can write in questions, and usually those questions are either answered immediately or within at least 24 hours. So students, you know, aren't left alone to kind of navigate this. There's a lot of support behind BCMAS. And one of the new things that we've added for BCMAS is a mentorship program, which I'm so excited about. This is the opportunity for someone who enrolls in BCMAS to network and have with them a mentor from the industry, someone that has experience within the industry to help them navigate, whether it's BCMAS, to help them network within, you know, different companies in the industry, to help them better understand how to, you know, position themselves for other roles and opportunities in the industry, things like that. So that's something that, a lot of folks are excited about, and we're particularly excited about as well.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I think it's one thing to, you know, learn things from an online platform. I think it's something completely different to have a connection into the real world of medical affairs and field-based medical affairs. So that's phenomenal. About a year ago now, very close to a year ago, was the last time we chatted with you, and BCMAS had been around, I think, for about a year. So you're celebrating close to your second anniversary, I think. First of all, share with us, because I don't believe last time we chatted there was CME or CE associated with this certification. And then tell us more broadly about other things that have been going on at a broader level with BCMAS since we last talked.
Sure. Yeah, it's been a really exciting year. So much has happened at the ACMA with the BCMAS program. So one thing you mentioned that was huge was we now offer CME CE credits, which we're really excited about. We do that in partnership with Scientia CME, which is great. So now if you're a pharmacist, if you're a physician, you get CE credits, which is terrific. You know, that's another kind of benefit of the program. You know, you kill two birds with one stone. The other thing that's happened is that we've gotten a lot of press for some of the work that we're doing internationally. So we now have offices in Sao Paulo, Brazil. We have offices in India and Mumbai. And basically the teams there now are working with a lot of the major organizations within the pharmaceutical industry in those parts of the world. So for example, in Brazil, we're a partner to Interpharma, which is huge. Interpharma is essentially the compliance arm for South America and Brazil. They have over 100 companies, pharmaceutical companies, that are part of Interpharma. So Interpharma endorses the ACMA programs like BCMAS. So that's really exciting. The other thing, too, that we've had, and this has been in the news just recently, is a lot of policymakers, politicians, have approached us. I think especially when we talked last year, the opioid crisis hadn't really come to the attention of people, you know, on television, et cetera, in the press. But of course, in the last few months, the opioid crisis has gotten a lot of attention. And so a lot of policymakers now have approached the ACMA and said, you know, this is really interesting what you guys are doing, establishing the standard, establishing a unified standardization for medical affairs professionals, for sales representatives. And that's something that, you know, a year ago necessarily didn't exist. And so one of the things we're doing now is we partner with the city of Chicago. We haven't talked about this, but we actually provide the education for the pharmaceutical sales reps to get credentialed, which is really cool. But what that tells you, you know, as if you're listening out there, is that the ACMA content, the ACMA content really is top notch. Because as you know, Aaron, to be able to get something to be accredited, right, for it to become worthy of earning CE, it has to be top notch quality content. And for you to be able to work with, you know, a state government at the state level, for them to utilize your content also means that the content is really top notch. And that's important for people to recognize, is that today we are the only organization in the world, and I'm really proud of that, that has that. There is no other organization, no other program that's accredited, you know, that's internationally recognized by the Institute of Credentialing Excellence. And also, you know, we've been featured, as you probably have seen, in ABC News, Forbes, Pharma Exec, you know, Markets Insider. We just had one of our board members go on one of the do a TED Talk, which is really cool, Charles Schmidt. And that's awesome. You know, again, so we're kind of bringing medical affairs to a whole other level that's never been done before, at least since I started in medical affairs.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think, you know, going back to the world of academia, you don't know what you don't know. And a lot of students coming out have no clue that medical affairs is an inroad or even a career option within the pharmaceutical industry, let alone these other modules that you have, and kind of diverting from medical affairs into a niche area that people have an interest in, whether or not they have an MD, PharmD, or PhD. So I think that's great. How are employers embracing this? You mentioned, you know, the OUS experience, which is phenomenal, but how are employers overall supporting this? Are there any companies that are out there saying, hey, this is a requirement for you as a medical affairs professional, or are they getting behind it? Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's been really exciting, the developments over the last year. And you might have seen just about probably 2 or 3 weeks ago in the Boston Herald, there was an entire article on Ipsen Biosciences. And they, you know, the reporter ran a great story on the fact that Ipsen's really went above and beyond and now has credentialed their entire medical affairs team, which is so exciting. And so, yes, there have been other companies outside of Ipsen that have done the same, where they've offered the program to either their MedInfo organization, their medical directors and medical affairs strategy team internally, their MSLs. So we have, you know, a whole host of companies, big, large pharma that, you know, are well known, and then smaller biotech companies, mid-sized companies that have offered it. So absolutely, the number is growing. And the acceptance and the value of BCMS is something that really should be a mainstay for every medical affairs MSL professional is there. And so we're very excited about that. I mean, today, I can't remember when we last spoke how many there were, but today the ACMA has over about 4,000 people worldwide, about 80% of which are in the U.S. And so that's, you know, that's huge. And that's, like I said earlier on, that's really, from my perspective, going to transform the industry. So,
yeah, and to your point, I don't really think there's been a whole lot of standardization within the industry, within field-based medical affairs or medical affairs until now. So I think that's great that we have, you know, a place where we can level and set some standards. So congratulations to you and your company. So what
Thank
is
you so much.
Yeah. So what's involved in maintaining the BCMAS certification? I know, you know, a lot of the other board certifications for pharmacists have re-accreditation requirements every 5 years, for example. So is there anything like that with BCMAS?
There is. Once you get board certified, there is a maintenance certification requirement. The board certification is good for 5 years.
Okay.
After that point, you have two options. Either you can sit for the exam and recertify that way, or you can complete a certain number of continuing education credit hours that will be approved by the ACMA. So you have one of two options.
Excellent. And so if we have professionals out there that want to learn more, Dr. Solomon, where can we point them?
Real simple. I would say visit us, medicalaffairsspecialist.org online, or Google, you know, Accreditation Council for Medical Affairs, Medical Affairs Certification, and it will come up right away. And, you know, just email us at info@medicalaffairsspecialist.org. We'll be more than happy to answer your questions. We have associates on our team that are more than happy to talk through the benefits of the program, talk to you about your experience and how this would fit into your career goal, and really kind of walk you through the process. So we're really more than happy to support folks that want to take on this endeavor every step of the way.
And we'll be sure to include in show notes for this episode your last episode with us last year for Baseline, and also any other links to your website. And if you have anything else you'd like to share with us, Dr. Solomon, we'd be happy to include that as well.
Thank you so much, Aaron, and thanks to all the listeners out there. Pleasure to be here once again.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Farming Your Career podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you have ideas or comments for Erin, be sure to contact her through Twitter. Follow her at Erin L. Albert. And remember to keep your career growing.